Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia, it's episode number 376 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Craft Bag has bad news from Australia, other than the quarantine camps, I'm guessing. At 12:30, lots happening across college football with coach and player movement, and in mere minutes, when Ewers sets his visit to Austin, and some people are upset over how quickly NIL has evolved. Folks, it's been going on this entire time. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Wednesday. It is always good to hear that guitar every day at the beginning of the show. And before we get into sports, I just want to give a couple of big musical shout-outs because we are music snobs around here. Today's a sad musical day and a happy musical day for me because we always have the stuff. But today's the day we lost two legends. One of them is in a whole different stratosphere of legend, so don't misunderstand what I'm about to do here. But rest in peace to John Lennon. Rest in peace to Dimebag Darrell of Pantera. We start every show with Pantera. Both of those guys were killed by their fans. So just a reminder today, as we're about to get into Quinn Ewers' discussion, as we're always into the social media world, the mean, nasty social media world, never let your fandom of anything go too far. Because a couple guys did, and John Lennon and Darrell are dead because of it. Their fans killed them. Don't ever let it go that far. Don't ever let your fandom get out of control. Rest in peace to Dimebag and, of course, John Lennon today. December 8th, 1980. Lennon, December 8th, 2004. Dimebag Darrell.
Fan in the truest sense of the word, Chad, because fan is short for fanatic.
Oh, it is.
Fanatic implies certain irrationality, and it doesn't get much more irrational than killing that which you love.
That is it, man. And that's the thing. When we say fan is short for fanatic, we need to keep having the discussion past that because you can't just stop there because then that almost makes the excuse for, well, they burned the whole city down. They're fans. Well, no. That can't happen. Like, I go to a website called fanatics.com for gear, for stuff. When the Braves won the World Series, I'm a Braves fan. Mm-hmm. I went to get my dad a Christmas present because I'm a fan. I have a little bit of a different feel about that team than I do about other teams, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stalk Freddie Freeman.
Right. Yeah, and there's a certain nihilism that comes into play as well with those supposed fans who use a celebratory opportunity to try and wreak havoc or any other opportunity, just whatever gives them that slight excuse to just cause problems, to try and burn buildings or to try and harm others. And look, fans certainly get into that as well. There are plenty of videos from the stands at NFL games
over
the last 10-plus years now. Most of them used to happen in Oakland. Thankfully, we're seeing less of that in Vegas. I guess the games are priced out of those degens' price range. But, fans have a history of doing stupid things at times. And then there are those who aren't even necessarily fans who give everybody a bad name as a result.
So if you want to do what I do on December 8th and mix in a little Beatles and Pantera, not a lot of people do that, but I am one. So I'll try to find a little, I am the walrus and vulgar display of power and put the two together at some point today.
And then there is that Pantera album where they did nothing but Beatles covers too.
Oh, my God. Pantera doing Eleanor Rigby will make you cry.
My guitar gently weeps. More like angrily screams.
I was going to say, the one thing Dimebag Darrell's guitar never did was gently do anything. It didn't gently do one thing. We'll have some great music throughout the show today, thanks to Trey and his music snobbery. We will also get into plenty of football stuff. Our normal visits, 105 with Justin Wells of Inside Texas and On3.com. Can't imagine what we'll talk about with him because it's not like we're a week away from signing day or anything. Oh, wait, yeah, we are. And we'll get into the Quinn Ewers thing here in just a second. At 205, Ari Temkin from the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network and Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. I don't know about all of y'all Cowboy fans, but I'm getting a little nervous about Cowboys at Washington because I feel like one team is finding a groove and a rhythm and the other team is just a little bit too sloppy right now. And I think we know which is which. I'm hoping, Trey, that turns around a little bit on Sunday afternoon.
Eventually, Washington is going to turn into that mediocre to bad team that we came to expect through the first half of the season. They've surprised a lot of folks these last couple of weeks, including going in and beating a Vegas team that was certainly vulnerable, but a Vegas team that looked like they might have gotten back on track the previous week with an impressive win over the Cowboys in Dallas.
Yeah, a couple of key guys will be out for Washington, though. We'll get the official injury report, of course, on coming up tomorrow. Happens every Thursday. But if you haven't heard, Sweat is on the COVID list because he tested positive. He's out for the game. And Logan Thomas, Trey, anybody that watched last weekend saw Logan limping in the back of the end zone. I think it was after catching a touchdown.
Yes.
Wasn't it? And he ends up with a knee situation. They had to put him on IR, and I said knee situation. That made it sound way simpler than it actually is. He needs surgery. He's out the rest of the year. So that is big for Washington. So we'll get to all of that, but let's start with college football, Trey. Let's go spec set piece because there's a real key piece that's making a visit.
The Specs Set Piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. The biggest saves of the match start at Specs, official partner of Austin FC. Specs, the fun starts here.
So, Trey, the only analogy I can come up with here from my personal life is one of my best friends in the world, when he left high school, he went to the Naval Academy. So I just thought he was going to the Naval Academy, and I was going to see him very rarely. Very rarely, if at all. Things didn't work out in the Navy for him, and he ended up getting out of Annapolis, and he came to Austin, to UT. So then he went from all those miles away to, oh, he's just 100 miles away because I was at A&M. And at that point, it's like, oh, my God, there's so many options there. Hey, dude, somebody's coming in concert. Hey, I feel like that's what you guys, Longhorn fans and Tech fans and TCU fans are now like with Quinn Ewers because he was gone. He was in Columbus. You didn't really think about him as really anything other than, oh, I guess if you play Ohio State. And now Quinn Ewers is coming to visit Austin this weekend. Steve Sarkisian gets his shot this weekend.
Well, the whispers really did begin a little bit more than a month ago that Quinn Ewers was one of a couple of things. Either wasn't happy in Columbus, saw a long road ahead of him in Columbus, or all along kind of planned to start out at Ohio State and then feel out what the best situation would be for him going forward after he was able to rake in literal millions in NIL money with playing maybe a handful of snaps at Ohio State. I think he took three total snaps while he was there.
And still got a little scratch for you?
I mean, it came out to like a little bit more than $1 million per snap.
Nice job,
if
Quinn.
What I read a couple of days ago was correct.
A million a snap. That's
dude,
great.
A guy that's a true freshman and literally reclassified to get there, too. I mean, it's impressive. It's something they should probably teach in business classes at some point how well he was able to profiteer on that moment. But Longhorn fans should feel pretty good about this right now. You should feel optimistic. Yeah, he went and visited Texas Tech over the weekend, and they gave him a lot to think about. Went to TCU at some point over the last couple of days as well. A&M may be under consideration. But this kid did grow up with his blood running orange. And there's a lot of chatter behind the scenes right now that he intended to end up at the University of Texas all along. Now, you can ask yourself, well, why didn't he come here to begin with? Totally understandable question. That question makes a lot of sense. It's a valid question, but I think it's also an inconsequential question when it's all said and done if he does ultimately end up here, because he would still be a freshman next year. And yeah, he loses the ability to redshirt because he would have done that this year, but he's also a guy who would come here expecting to receive a fair shake and possibly becoming this team's starting quarterback in 2022.
Yeah, so multiple insider sites reporting that he will visit this weekend. That is obviously key. Now, if you don't know the timeline, I double-checked it today. So today is Wednesday the 8th. We are 1 week away from the beginning of the signing period. Remember, early signing day starts in December now. It's the 15th, 16th, and 17th. So next Wednesday through Friday, you can sign. Then it'll stop until February.
But this... that time frame doesn't necessarily directly affect his decision, other than the whispers going around that he plans on bringing a couple of class of 2022 kids with him.
That he would care about the 22 class enough that he wanted to affect it ahead of time.
So I would expect him to make a decision at some point early next week based on that.
I would too. Yeah, I'm guessing he wouldn't do a visit this weekend to Texas unless there was a reason to do it. He's already visited Texas Tech, if you don't know, and he visited TCU like Monday.
Right.
And so
yeah. Part of that may be timing as well, but you feel good being that last school to get to speak with him and also to get his attention where it is that you're located.
I don't care what they tell you in Lubbock and Fort Worth, but there were people on both trips thinking to themselves, oh, don't let this kid get to Austin. Let's get something. Can we get something figured out today? Throw that offer in front of him. Can he verbal? Ask him if he wants a verbal. I mean, whatever it is. They know. They know what it means if he ends up here, what it could mean. So that's coming up this weekend. And you mentioned NIL. To me, that's the other thing. Texas needs to do their full homework on what Ohio State had for him, because obviously those numbers, like you're saying, are out there. But then also dig into what TCU might be thinking. Because there's money there. That's private school money. Dig into what Texas Tech might be thinking. It's not like nobody's got money out in Lubbock. Dig into all of it. And then find a respectful way to say to Quinn Ewers, dude, all that's cute. Here's us. Boom. And you lay it down in front of him and just watch the jaw drop. That's being Texas. That's what they need to do.
Yeah, well, based on what they announced last week and then also early this week, being specific to the offensive line, they're probably some sort of plans in the work to make sure that they're helping him out if he decides to become a student here, Chad. And I'm not saying that's being talked about in these conversations that they may be having with him this weekend, but it should at least be silently understood that something like that could happen.
Sure. Yeah, that's the thing I'm very confused about in the NIL discussion. We'll get into some of it here in a second, but this notion that coaches can't talk about it in living rooms or whatever, or what can they say or what can't they say?
Well, you asked about a kid inquiring directly about the offensive line deal.
Right.
And whether the coach can say anything, whether he has to give the guy a brochure. I suggested he's maybe pushing a business card across the coffee table with a number in compliance.
Yeah, here's the number.
They can help fill him in on things.
Sure.
I mean, you do still have to be at least a little bit careful with that, but it has opened things up in that regard to where there's at least somebody that you can direct those questions to now versus this hush-hush, we're going to find a way to get this for you under the table or out of the sight of the public deal.
Let's just keep with our analogy of under the table, above the table. I'm assuming even now at car dealerships, there's still the above table, write something down and slide it across, right?
Mm-hmm.
You write the number. What would be wrong with, hey, and Quinn, as far as the NIL discussion, we can guarantee you that, and then, of course, you are the guy we snap the ball to. You know what I mean? Like, if you knew that the Clark plus whatever it is could get him blank, write blank down on a piece of paper and go, all right, Quinn, there's that number. Like, that's for sure. Plus, you're the quarterback, man. It's that plus.
There has to be something, I think, in place for you to even start to talk about a number like that. Like, somebody who is recruiting, let's say Kelvin Banks on Friday night. Steve Sarkisian's doing an in-home with Kelvin Banks. May not be Friday night. It may be Friday during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to meet with Kelvin Banks and his family. Kelvin Banks, of course, the recent Oregon decommit, five-star kid, maybe the best prospect in this state, at a huge position of need for Texas, obviously. Steve Sarkisian is going to be able to go to him and say, look, you don't get this when you sign with us, if you choose to sign with us next week, but the deal that's in place now, or the deals that are in place, guarantee that every offensive lineman, starting in the fall, will receive the $50,000 for the Pancake Factory and also the $100,000 for the
Clark Field
Initiative Collective, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So this is money that you can expect when you get here, but we can't promise you that as soon as you sign that letter or as soon as you, maybe if he's an early enrollee. Like, when you get here in January, you don't necessarily see any of that, but that's something that has been set up by those who love this university and want to make sure that its players are given the proper financial thanks for what it is that they're doing for school.
And you're right to bring up the timeline, because that's an element of it I hadn't thought of, which is as you lead up to December 15th, it's one thing, right? If the kid's a verbal commitment, it's one thing. And then the moment they sign an NLI, National Letter of Intent. Yes, NLI.
N-I-L.
In.
Oh, NL. Yes,
right.
I'm sorry. Yes,
the National
right.
Letter of Intent is the NLI. Yeah. At that moment, then the NIL discussion, I guess, could change slightly, and maybe there's legality about that. But either way, we know Quinn Ewers, it may be important to him, and it certainly was important to him at Ohio State. So Texas is going to have a heck of an argument that they'll be making to Quinn Ewers this weekend.
So as far as the Pancake Factory goes and this idea that Texas is overtly cheating now, I guess is how I've seen it bluntly put on Twitter.
Really?
People complaining that Texas has taken something pretty earnest, something pretty honest, and turned it into this nefarious thing by setting up a fund that hooks up a position group like this.
The honest thing being pancakes.
The honest thing being pancakes.
Nothing more honest than a pancake.
Did you not have an issue with the barbecue company sponsoring an entire offensive line 4 months ago? Is it because there was less money at play? Like, is it the amount of money that's bothering you right now? Do we not understand that this sort of thing has been happening behind closed doors for literally decades, Chad?
Oh, yeah.
Decades. And it was happening long before SMU got busted like they were in the mid-1980s. And there's been hundreds of millions of dollars thrown around this entire time that those well above the players continue to profit on.
Yeah.
And it's the players that I would argue are the most important piece of this entire puzzle who have seen so little up to this point. And that's not to say that there hasn't been a version of this, but now more guys who are deserving of making a little bit of scratch on what is essentially a full-time job that you are participating in while you go to school. Yes, you get a little bit of a payment with not having to pay for school, but the value of that job that you're performing goes well beyond the however many tens of thousands of dollars that you're getting on that scholarship.
Yeah, so just this week, they started referring to something as a factory, with the Pancake Factory.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it hasn't always been a factory, though.
Right.
The factory didn't just open.
Yeah, the factory.
they didn't take those giant scissors we saw at Total Men's the other day and cut a ribbon on the factory this week. That's not what happened.
Yeah, the factory has been using, in some cases, Nike factory in China level slave labor.
Yes.
To reap billions.
Yeah. The factory's been running a little differently. You're just now able to talk about some of the things. Again, like we keep saying, above the table.
The Chinese Uyghurs are looking over at what was happening with college football players over the last few years and saying, man, those guys are getting screwed.
Oh, my God. So, okay. So, here's the other thing to me. Anybody online that would be talking about some, you know, unnecessary disadvantage, or I can't believe this advantage that Texas is getting. I'm assuming a Texas, Alabama, Georgia put a group together. Oh, the haves and the have-nots and the rich get richer and all that. And my response would be, well, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday when Jeff Ward was in here, he was talking about Rice guys versus Texas guys. The guys that are going to go to Rice or interested in Rice are still going to be interested in Rice. The guys that are interested in Texas will still be interested in Texas. And each of those schools will have their own ways of sweetening the pot. And the levels of sweetening the pot, to me, won't really change that much. It's just that now Rice students and Texas students or prospective students can go to their parents, can talk to the team about it, and it'll be all out in the open. Like, oh, hey, look, did you know they're going to get me a car deal? Really? Oh, are there car dealerships in Houston? Yeah, there are. And if I want to drive a Jaguar to practice, I can. Really, a Jag? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and the quarterback of the team or the Bijan Robinson of the world, those guys will certainly still get theirs, and they'll actually get to make a little bit closer to what fair market value is
mm-hmm.
in the process. It's just those lesser guys, those littler guys, those smaller guys who may actually start to earn a little bit more now, and that's okay.
Now,
just because this is changing as quickly as it is doesn't mean something nefarious is going on. Just because Texas was the first school to figure out that you could set something up like this that does benefit the player and does benefit the athletics department as well, it benefits the school, benefits the program, doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that they are trailblazers on this front.
Somebody texted, there's no way offensive linemen have been making anywhere near this proposal under the table in the past.
Yeah, you're right about that. And guess what? They're probably still getting underpaid by at least a little bit. Is that why you're upset? Is because the dirty money hasn't been going out to as many offensive linemen in the past? Because if so, I would suggest that your frustrations are miscast, my friend.
Here'd be my question. Do you really think that a badass offensive lineman at Alabama or Ohio State or somewhere over the years has not made $50,000 in 1 year?
Right.
Really?
Right.
Not one? I'm not even going to name a name because that would be a little bit rude, but come on.
Would you blame Ohio State for have given Orlando Pace that amount of money his last year in Columbus? The answer is no. He's worth a lot more than that.
Somebody says you need to sign Ewers as an O-lineman. That's the key. Just make him recruit him as an O-lineman, and he could get the Pancake Factory money.
I need to give credit to Luke Brockermeyer, who I saw tweet this out. I think it was on Monday.
That's funny.
Where he tweeted, he didn't link it to anything else. He just sent out a simple tweet. I want to thank my linebackers coaches, or I want to thank my position group for the time that I've gotten to spend there. I'd like to announce that I'm going to be spending my future as an offensive lineman for Texas football.
There you go. That is funny. All right, give us your thoughts. Specs text line 337-3776. NIL discussions continue, and Quinn Ewers is going to be visiting UT this weekend. Big stuff going on in this 22 class.
You know, the fact that people are upset that a system that, again, is making hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars on an annual basis, that is finally starting to hook up the pieces that are necessary for this whole thing to work. It's just puzzling to me. Maybe it's because the school that you root for is at a bit of a disadvantage. A lot of these other schools are going to play catch up, and you will get these more specific lines between the various levels that do have the systems in place to pay money to players like this. It's part of the reason why I think it's important that Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC now. Because what is the SEC working with that is greater than what most schools in the Big 12 have to offer right now?
Following all the rules.
Yeah. And then also the amount of money that most of those schools are working with. That's why I wouldn't be surprised if in, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, Vanderbilt is no longer in the SEC. There might be a different conference home that makes more sense for Vanderbilt. It could be another Power Five. It could be in a different division or league altogether. But the SEC is where you're going to see this start to happen at an even more accelerated pace than what Texas just did with the announcement that was made earlier this week, and also the one last week, too.
Complete misnomer, Trey. There is no money in the SEC. Not a lot of people know that. You'll find out in a few years. Weird secret they never tell you.
Yeah, the dollar sign that
nobody
they
makes money.
Use for the S sometimes.
Yeah,
it's being done
right.
Ironically because they're so poor.
Exactly. Such a poor conference. All right, coming up, more college football notes. Did you hear about Ohio State's new DC? We'll tell you about him, and we'll tell you about LSU. Use old QB. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Starting out with a little Hall & Oates today. Trey, is there a podcast reason, or are you just in a Hall & Oates kind of mood?
Just in a Hall & Oates radio kind of mood. So it's going to start with the band responsible for today's playlist.
All right.
We'll evolve or devolve from here. This is a pretty good song, Chad.
This is such a great song.
In terms
song.
Of happy, poppy songs.
It's a wonderful use of the keyboard synthesizer, whatever you want to say there at the beginning. Yesterday I heard a Hall & Oates song. Can't remember which one it was, but we don't appreciate Daryl Hall's voice enough. I don't think. I don't think the world of pop music fully appreciates how great that man's voice is.
He is
he's such a monster to me. When I hear it all these years later, stuff like that, just that cool soulfulness, it's catchy, it's pop, clearly, but there's a great undercurrent of just good foundational stuff to it. I've always wanted to see him live. We almost did a couple years ago, and it fell through. I want to see Hall & Oates someday. That's one I've got to scratch off the list. All right, more great music coming up. The Hall & Oates radio playlist that Trey will be digging through. We got some college football coming up. We want to remind you, before we get there, since it is Wednesday, Under the Lights tonight with Rick Epstein and Jeff Powers, getting you ready for Final Four weekend of the high school football playoffs. Can't wait for that. So Under the Lights tonight at 7 with all kinds of cool guests, including a couple of guests. They got the LBJ head coach and running back on the show tonight. So if you know that show, you know they always have a lot of great guests. Check it out at 7. 8 o'clock is fight night. 9 o'clock sports, guys, talking wrestling tonight on a Wednesday.
Hey, real quick, before we get into some of the other college news and notes happening right now with players and coaches, this is what I'm talking about here. And it's not just Darren Rovell who is posting such ignorance about the NIL thing and what Texas has done with it now, but
Can't imagine.
Such a great example because he's such a bleeping dork, and he's ironically posting this story on a website that promotes gambling. And by the way, I have no issues with sports gambling.
All right.
It's more about Darren Rovell being a bleeping dork who just very often posts stupid things, ill-informed things. Name, image, and likeness is about to turn into exactly what we thought it would, cheating. Shut up, Darren Rovell, you moron.
What? What does that mean?
God.
I don't understand.
It doesn't mean anything, Chad. It's just using these buzzwords to make it seem like you're something that you're not, which is what Darren Rovell is all about. He is one of the biggest virtue signals around. But guess what? As soon as it becomes profitable for Darren Rovell, he will be all aboard what is happening with NIL and how it will continue to evolve.
So, Trey, we got a text as we went to the break. We'll discuss this and we can go to something else, but I thought this was interesting. I'm all for NIL, but there feels like there's a risk at hand. What if Ewers signs with Texas but gets beat out by Malik Murphy? Will Sark stick with Ewers because of the money, or will he go with Murphy to win championships? It's just a hypothetical question. I get that question in the basic form, but that's also – coaches deal with that for years. You've been dealing with that, whether it's one quarterback's more famous than the other, one quarterback was higher ranked than the other, one quarterback was a five-star, one wasn't. It's never going to be completely equal. And you're going to just have to explain to these guys, Sark, Saban, all these guys will explain to them, fellas, your deals are your deals. And we want you guys to be able to benefit from that and use NIL. Don't you dare come to us and talk about your NIL deals and think that entitles you to football playing time, because we determine all that, period.
I mean, it
should be that simple, right?
It should be that simple. Maybe you have to have that conversation, too. I just don't understand why the people who are so up in arms about this weren't upset when Dr. Pepper decided to pay DJ whatever the heck his last name is, $1 million? To promote Dr. Pepper on the season,
right,
despite the fact that he hadn't really proven himself on the field just yet?
Some of them might have been upset, especially when Clemson played badly. But I don't remember hearing a ton of reaction there, but, you know.
Yeah, that's it's called buyer's remorse.
Right.
I have a problem with the deal to begin with, that this is how you're going to react as things continue to evolve. And I'm going to continue using the word evolve because that's what's happening right now.
It definitely is.
This is the direction it was headed and needed to head to, by the way.
So the NIL discussion obviously will continue. We talked about Quinn Ewers coming to Texas. A couple other notes from around college football, Trey, to let the people know about that I thought were interesting. This Oklahoma State story that it's an OSU to OSU story, I think affects the world of college football too. Yesterday, Ryan Day, head coach at Ohio State, puts out a tweet and messaging that basically let everybody know that he's found himself a new defensive coordinator, and his name is Jim Knowles, Oklahoma State's guy.
Ouch.
4 years
for Okie State fans.
4 years in Stillwater, and at this point, his defense is third in total yards allowed, first in sacks, fourth in yards per play allowed, fifth in rushing yards allowed, 10th in passing yards allowed. And he was, I believe, second or third for the Broyles Award that went to one of the Cats at Michigan. So he's a big deal right now.
Yeah.
And I looked up the history today as we were getting ready for the show. No connections to Ohio State. Smart dude, apparently. He went to Cornell and started. He played and then coached at Cornell, eventually became their head coach, and then kind of worked his way through a couple interesting stops. A stop at Ole Miss and Duke along the way, but then went from Duke to Oklahoma State, and now he's going to find his way to Columbus. He won't officially be in until after the Rose Bowl. But now that'll change, you know, things going on in two different conferences. Ohio State, and I'd forgotten this, after Oregon beat them, their DC got his play calling taken away.
Yep.
So he's going to be moving on. I think they knew that anyway. The DB's coach actually took over play calling because of the way Oregon treated him. And then we all know what Michigan just did to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be something to watch at Ohio State. Jim Knowles is going there. So now Mike Gundy, after going through this, you just mentioned the word evolving in NIL. Oklahoma State has really evolved these last few years. Does Mike Gundy double down defensively and say, I'm going to get another one of those? Or does it pivot back around to Mike Gundy calls plays, you know, get some stud offensive coordinator and says, no, let's go try to win, you know, 35-32 again?
I'm guessing that he continues to try and find that balance, and part of that is just getting better at the quarterback position. Maybe he's just resigned to rolling with Spencer Sanders until he runs out of eligibility, so he's going to have to find that next guy who can come in and do the job that Jim Knowles did. I mean, I think all of us are blown away at this point with what he was able to help turn Oklahoma State into, and that's a legitimate conference championship competitor and a team that was actually able to beat Oklahoma for once this year.
I will give, that's clearly one of the best examples of why they're, I mean, the year that they're putting together, being able to beat Oklahoma and Texas and all the teams they did. But to me, the two Baylor games almost speak to him more than anything. The first game when Spencer Sanders hands Baylor the ball three times with turnovers and Baylor scored nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this game, the Big 12 title game, your running back doesn't play. Your quarterback turned into the Salvation Army with giving everywhere. He was ringing the bell all day. Here you go, Baylor. Here you go, Baylor.
Not all his fault.
Not all his fault. But then at the end of the game, you still had a chance. If your guy got to the pylon, you still, after all of that, only allowed 21 points in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim Knowles has had a hell of a run, and I wish him luck. I can't root for him anymore because Ohio State's not a school I ever root for, but hey, good for him.
Yeah, I don't root for Ohio State either, and so I hope he's not that good of a DC at that level of things, but hats off to him and what he was able to do in Stillwater. And by the way, Gundy is such a savvy hirer of assistant coaches, specifically coordinators.
Oh, yeah.
He's done it on the offensive side for a long time now. And he gets another opportunity to show that he can do it with the defense, too.
So the other thing real quick before the break, Trey, another LSU quarterback in the transfer portal. This is not a best of show. This is Max Johnson that is now in the transfer portal after becoming their starter. He is leaving. So now they have one scholarship quarterback left named Garrett Nussmeier. He is a true freshman. He has appeared in four games this season.
Oopsie.
So if he plays in the bowl game, he doesn't get to redshirt.
Thanks, Edo. Couldn't you have gotten one of your girlfriend's kids to play quarterback for him one of those three games?
What in the world?
Man, Edo screwed that next guy. I guess he screwed Brian Kelly.
Something else to keep in mind, Max Johnson, I didn't realize this. He has a brother named Jake who is a tight end prospect in the 22 class. He just decommitted from LSU, too.
Ooh.
Both of those guys are going to be, you know, he's going to go through the recruiting path. Max is going through the transfer path. Keep your eyes peeled, though. Do the Johnson brothers end up at the same place? These are Brad Johnson's kids, the quarterback that was with the Bucs in the Super Bowl but played at Florida State, just in case that might matter. I don't know if it does. But Max Johnson will transfer, and Jake Johnson, the tight end prospect, has also decommitted from LSU.
Now, is it wrong for a school to say, hey, Max, if you decide you want to come play here, we'd be happy to take your brother as well?
Is it wrong?
Yeah.
You know who you're asking that question. No.
I don't know. I guess I'm asking it more hypothetically to you and as a way to be a smartass to those who have that big of an issue with Texas setting up the deal that they did earlier this week, because technically that's considered cheating too.
All's fair.
Like, do you really have that big of a problem with something like that being said, floating something like that?
Hey, all's fair in love and legacy, right?
I would suggest that maybe you need to reconsider how you're valuing left-handed quarterbacks to begin with.
Uh-huh.
With that big of a deal with him wanting to bring his brother aboard too.
Yeah, see, you just did that in the wrong order. The question is the tight end kid good enough that you'd say Max could come too? Because so far, Max hadn't shown us a ton.
No, you're right about that.
The question is if the tight end version, if that's the brother you want to focus on.
Give the younger brother all the leverage.
Exactly. It turns into what was Deontay Foreman's brother's name?
Oh, Armani.
Right, where originally they were focused on him.
Yeah,
and then eventually it turned into, oh, you know what, that running back brother of his. My God, have you seen him?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what this is, where you say, hey, you know what, I get Max throws like that, but have you seen that kid run the seam route, his brother? He's pretty good. Keep your eye on those guys, too. A lot of moving and shaking around college football. Coming up at 1, we'll hit the Texas stuff with Justin Wells of Inside Texas. Now that we know Quinn Ewers will visit Austin, we'll get his thoughts on that. Plus the whole offensive line stuff, kids decommitting from Oregon. How many of them did Texas have a shot at? We'll get into all that at 1:05. Up next, though, in the crap bag, some bad news from Australia for one of the goats. This is The Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Magazines to Playboy days, the 80s. Centerfold, could you have named the artist before you played the song?
Yes.
Yeah?
This is one of the few songs from that era that I really liked as a kid.
Oh, it's a great tune, man. Jay Giles Band with Centerfold. They made some great videos back then. There were a few girls in this video. This is a video that had a late night version, too.
Oh.
Back in the day, I think it was the 9 o'clock cutoff, 9 or 10 o'clock p.m. And there was a version of a video that could play late night. This was one of those videos that had a little bit of a risque version. I couldn't even tell you what it is at this point.
Okay, so you don't know if they were wearing bikinis or something?
Yeah, it was probably a shot, like an extra shot or two of like cleavage from a distance.
That's fair.
You know, something like that. But Jay Giles Band, we started off with Hall & Oates because Trey is hitting a Hall & Oates radio playlist. We were getting some love for Hall & Oates on the text line, and why not? Always fantastic. We'll talk some recruiting and other things with Justin Wells of Inside Texas and On3.com coming up. Quinn Ewers going to visit Texas this weekend. That should be interesting. And then these offensive linemen, the ex-Oregon commitment offensive lineman. Where's that discussion? Mr. Kelvin Banks is a name a lot of people are thinking of, because Trey, when Kelvin Banks decommits from Oregon, I'm not saying he just decommitted from Cristobal, but the kid's from Houston.
Yeah.
He went to Humble, right? So it's not like he's a Northwest kind of kid.
Look, I mean, he decommitted the same day that it was announced Cristobal was going to Miami. He quit because of Cristobal. He decommitted because of Cristobal.
So then instantly in those situations, you go back to the region for the kid. Just like with the quarterback in Oklahoma, it just worked out for Riley, right? When that guy decommits because Riley moves, well, he's moving to California, and the kid's California.
Right.
So that's where it helps. But in this case, can Texas now swoop in? There's been discussions that Texas A&M, I've read LSU, I've read, Trey, I've got a piece of bad news. There's a guy named Nick that wants to talk to Kelvin Banks, and apparently he's going to make an in-home visit in a day or so, and I think Kelvin has to answer the door.
All right, I'll tell you what. You get Kelvin Banks, you give us the Brockermeyers back.
Oh, there it is. Two for one?
Yeah.
Two for one deal. That sounds fair.
They're buried on the depth chart anyhow.
Sounds fair. I'm sure Nick will be all for that. So keep your eyes peeled for all the recruiting stuff. Right now, let's jump in the crap bag real quick. I got some bad news.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, Just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. So I'll tie two big badass athletes together here. When Tiger Woods had his press conference and sort of made it official that he can't really play big-time golf consistently anymore, a lot of sadness goes through the sport. But realize Tiger... Now we sort of officially know, all right, he's not passing Jack. Because to pass Jack, he's got to go through four majors and find a way to win them. Now let's transition to another big-time athlete. It has now been announced that Serena will not be a part of the Australian Open. That's sad. Sucks. I hope she can get out there and play at a high level again. Serena has not won a Grand Slam since 2017. She has 23 of them. The all-time record is 24. She needs one time. She needs one time, seven matches, and to be healthy. At this moment, I'll still say, Trey, when she's healthy and on, there's not many that can hang out with her, and she still has a shot, especially at a couple of the majors. She should never...
Still?
She should never play Paris again. Ever. Never. Don't go... Same thing I would tell Roger Federer. Don't ever play the French Open again. It's going to beat you up way too much. But... New York and London. And honestly, for it's Serena, Australia too. The other three are absolutely possible. Because her on grass and hard court, that's incredibly nasty stuff. She's 40, though, just like Fed. They're both 40. Fed's coming off a knee injury. He's not playing either, by the way.
No.
And his chance of getting even one more is way more remote than hers.
No, he's probably done.
But at 40...
I mean, he may play another one of these tournaments just to be able to say goodbye to a fan base, but... He is not a legitimate contender for a major going forward.
We'll see where it goes. He feels a lot further away than she does. She had a hamstring at Wimbledon, and on medical advice, she is not going to play. So I don't know how important it is for her to try to maybe tie and then pass Margaret Court, but it's getting tougher by the day, tougher by the tournament. So wish Serena nothing but good health and quick recovery, but Father Time has now really crawled into the discussion when it comes to Serena and Federer. By the way, if you haven't seen the King Richard movie, it's really good. Will Smith does a great job. The girls are good. The story is, of course, really interesting. One of the craziest stories in the history of sports. But now, yeah, 2017, last time she won a major. And she had a couple opportunities since then, but just hadn't been able to get it, you know, hadn't been able to get to that 24.
If she's done, that's okay.
Oh, yeah, no, it's okay. It is okay. She did something I didn't think was possible. I did not think anybody was going to be able to get four past Martina and Chrissy and five past Martina and Chrissy and one past Steffi.
Mm-hmm.
In my life, once Steffi got to 22, I thought, well, that's it. Nobody's topping that. Nobody. And I knew what the Williams sisters were, but I'm like, no. Because I thought they'd split enough, you know, where it'd be Serena'd have a pile, Venus would have a pile, just neither pile would get to 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
But Serena's obviously proven me wrong. So I hope she gets a shot at another one because it'll be a hell of a story. At 40, 41, 42, as a mother, to get out there and win a granny, that'd be incredible. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be possible. I hope she pulls it off, but that's bad. Sorry to hear that because her in Australia playing well always has a shot, but she will not be in this year's tournament. Of course, that happens at the beginning of 2022 in Melbourne. And by the way, Djokovic is going to play, trying to get to 21 and break that tie at the top of the men's list. Up next, Justin Wells of Inside Texas and On3.com. Let's get into all this recruiting stuff. Quinn Ewers is going to visit Texas this weekend. What about all the offensive linemen, including the decommits from Oregon? And oh, by the way, we're a week away from the signing period beginning in December. A lot to talk to Justin about. Stay with us. This is The Horn.